Thank you, team, for leading us in worship again this morning. Appreciate you. There once was a time not so long ago that it was said a man's word was his bond. Now, not meaning to leave you out, ladies, because you can say that your word is your bond as well, but this was simply how it was stated at a time in our culture's history. What it meant was that with his word and a good handshake, I don't know if a bad handshake invalidated anything, but with his word and a good firm handshake, a man could borrow money or buy land. You could risk your life on him doing exactly what he said he would do. He would find a way somehow to honor his word, his commitment. Whatever it would cost him, whatever he had to do, if there was any way possible, he would do what he said he would do, and he would be where he said he would be. His good name was something of great value to him, and the genuine trust of others was very important as well. Even if it would cost some personal sacrifice, and even if it would cost some personal pain and discomfort, he would keep his word and would fulfill his promises and obligations. He may not have had much in the way of earthly possessions, earthly wealth, material possessions, but if he had just two things, he would consider to be rich: a good name and friends. Neither one of those things was taken lightly, because those aren't things that were given. They had to be earned. A good name, a reputation, that is, and friends. Proverbs 22, verse 1 says, do we have September the 1st? Is that what that title is there? I think it's a little different. Okay. Well, while we're just jumping on a different PowerPoint stream there, we'll get there eventually. But Proverbs 22, when you get it there, just throw up slide 2. Proverbs 22, verse 1 says, a good name is more desirable than great riches. Huh? Okay. A good name is more desirable than great riches. Don't know if you agree. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. That's pretty high praise. A good name is more desirable than great riches, Proverbs 22. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. Sadly, it's been said that with the majority of people today, we can't depend on just someone's word. Today we have to have a stack of papers signed and notarized by a legal representative, and lots of collateral if you want to borrow money or buy land or a house. And that's all there in case people don't do what they say they would do, and so we don't get stuck having to suffer the consequences of them not keeping their word. Well, in our verse that we're looking at today, it'll be up in a moment, is a continuation of our series in the Ten Commandments that we've been doing this summer. We're going to wrap that up next week. But this week, we're considering the ninth commandment, and it is found in Exodus 20, verse 16. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Another way that you might have learned it is, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Maybe you learned that in that version as a child. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. The main idea or essence of this commandment is about not telling lies. It's about being people of integrity. It's about being people of integrity. Genuine, honest truth and integrity are becoming less the norm today and more the exception in today's society. And you see, this sacrifice for a lie, everybody suffers. Everybody suffers. Rick Warren, author of The Purpose-Driven Church, he lists these top 10 North American lies. Number 10, your table will be ready in a minute. Number 9, one size fits all. Number 8, this will hurt me more than it hurts you. Heard that growing up, wasn't true. Sorry I'm late, I got stuck in traffic. Oh, these are North America's top 10 lies, okay? Yeah, see, number 6, check is in the mail. Number 5, this offer is limited to the first 50 callers. Baloney. It's not about the money. It's about the principle. Folks, it's always about the money. I just need 5 minutes of your time. Number 2, I'll start my diet tomorrow. And number 1, I'm from the Canada Revenue Agency and I'm here to help you. I may have adapted that a bit from the IRS type thing, but you get the point. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. What does this mean? Because we worship and love God, we shouldn't deceive, betray, or speak badly about other people. Instead, we should defend them, speak well of them, and build them up. According to the Bible, lying is a really big deal. You know why? Here's the main reason. Because Satan is called, what is he called? I hear it. The father of lies. Satan is called the father of lies. Who wants to be a child of the father of lies? It would be pretty horrible to have Satan as your dad. But when we lie, we are acting. I'm sure none of you do this. I'm sure none of you here tell lies. But in case you know somebody who does, this might be helpful for them, and you could relay this. When we lie, we are acting like Satan is our father and not God. It sounds pretty bad, doesn't it? I mean, that's an awful thing to say. It sounds horrible. But Jesus, in speaking to his accusers in one part of the Bible, in John chapter 8, 44, and the unbelievers that were there, he said, "For you are the children of your father, the devil." These are Jesus' words, not mine. "And you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Those were Jesus' words. Satan is shown to be the father of lies in the Bible. I mean, think about the Garden of Eden and the serpent and Eve. And then we think about the New Testament with the tempting of Jesus in the desert with lies when he was there. God commanded his people in the Old Testament and his people today, that's us, those who believe in God, those who follow God, not to lie, because lying breaks down relationships as well. How could you have a good relationship with other people if people constantly lie to each other? You couldn't. Everyone would be suspicious of each other and never really sure of each other. This is the basic idea of what it means to bear false witness. It means lying. And since God always tells the truth, he wants his people to imitate him by telling the truth as well. You know, if I say the legal system in Canada, you know basically what that is, do you? Or whatever country. When we say the legal system, it's in Canada, it's our system of government here where we attempt to make sure, or governing, where we attempt to make sure people follow the laws of the land. When we talk about the legal system, if people break those laws, they get in trouble. Well, that's where that's supposed to go. The legal system ideally is in place to make sure that innocent people don't get in trouble and guilty people do get in trouble and have to pay for their crimes. In our country, this system is very complicated and many people can get involved and many types of evidence are used. But in the times when the Bible was written, things were simpler in those days. What was most important, and pretty much the only thing, were witnesses. And they're important today too. But these were people, and just about only based on this, these were people who saw a crime take place. They would be expected to tell the truth about what they saw. And if two or three people told the same story about what they saw, then a judge would usually bring punishment on the person who committed the crime. And sometimes this punishment was very serious, like the death penalty. So it was really all about the witnesses. And to not bear false witness could mean the difference in someone's life. So we can see why it would be important to follow the ninth commandment. Listen to what Proverbs 25:18 says. Take a look here. It says, like a club or a sword or a sharp arrow. is the one who gives false testimony against a neighbor. Check the other version out. Telling lies about others is as harmful as hitting them with an axe, wounding them with a sword, or shooting them with a sharp arrow. I mean, we hear stories about this, and we read stories probably far more regularly than we ought to. But how would you feel if you were accused of something you didn't do and had to take the punishment for it? You were accused of something you did not do and you had to take the punishment for it. Oh, wait a minute. That sounds familiar. Jesus accused of things he did not do and took the punishment for it. Do you know that God, this is a bit of an interesting concept here that's sometimes hard to wrap our heads around. God exists in community. God exists as community, we say. That's how we word it. It means that God is a trinity. He's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's God in three persons, not three different gods, but three persons, each fully God, that are God. It's hard to understand. It's hard to wrap your head around. But by faith, we believe what the Bible teaches, even though it's hard to understand. What's important to understand is that each member of that Trinity has a love for the others in that Trinity. They exist as an interconnected relationship. If you read the New Testament, you can see that thing going on. You can read about it yourself. They exist as a trinity in an interconnected relationship. I mean, do you think the Son ever lies to the Father from what you know of the Bible? Or the Holy Spirit speaks falsely to the Son? No way. They're interconnected as one and would never want to do anything to hurt that relationship. And as the church, God says we're supposed to act the same way. Since we as Christians are united as a family, the church, it says in the Bible we should put away falsehood, which is just another way of saying bearing false witness or lying. And since we're all responsible for the health of our community, we have to take seriously God's call to speak the truth and only the truth to each other. If not, how could we invite other people to come and join us in following Jesus if we lie to each other? It doesn't make sense. Why would we do that? Ephesians 4:25, in fact, says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. Another version says, so stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And so, I mean, come on. At times, is it really such a big deal? I mean, there are lies we call doozies, right? That was a doozy. And then there are other ones that are, this doesn't hurt anybody, right? Just little lies. What if all I ever tell is a little lie? Isn't that all right? If you had been there the morning when God spoke those Ten Commandments from the top of Mount Sinai, and there was a time that we read of where the people could actually hear God's voice, maybe heard the thunder and saw the lightning and the dark clouds and the ground shaking, it's all there, and the voice of God speaking, I think you would certainly know that he was kind of serious when he spoke. In fact, do you know that there are some things that God hates and considers detestable? We don't usually use those words together with God, do we? No. But the Bible actually says God hates some things, and he finds them detestable. There are actually, on the next slide, you'll see, there are six things the Bible tells us the Lord hates. Seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes. I never got that word. That's so weird. Like, haughty. It's like, what does that mean? Well, you know what that means. I don't know if you know what that means. That's like, I'm up here and you're down there. And there's a reason. Because I'm better than you. That's haughtiness. That's feeling superior, expressing superior, looking down on others. That's what haughty eyes means. Oh, look at the second one there. These are six things that God hates that he finds detestable. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. These aren't just things you ought not to do. As far as I understand, the Bible and the translation is right there. These are six things that God hates, seven that he finds detestable. In fact, here this one is, here, Revelation 21:8. Cowards, I don't even get what all that means. Unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshippers, and, are you kidding? All liars. Their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. Do you know what that means? Do you know what the fiery lake of burning sulfur means in the Bible? Go ahead, you can say that word out loud. Hell. That's right. That's what it's talking about. It's talking about eternal punishment. It's talking about hell. Cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers. Again, not my words. These are in the Bible. The immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshippers, and all liars, their fate is in the fiery lake of sulfur. You see, God calls us and wants us to live a life that reflects that he's in control, that he's the one who directs the things we do and say. Our life is to be wrapped up in him. Lying, being dishonest, bearing false witness, whatever you want to call that, it takes away the glory of God from being upon our lives. You cannot walk in God's blessing and not tell the truth. You cannot walk in God's blessing and not tell the truth. God is a God of truth. He never lies. So if God hates lying, what would be the opposite of that? Yeah, speaking the truth. Speaking the truth. God loves the truth. In fact, Jesus said that he is the truth. In John 14:6, we read, Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. You know, sometimes it's hard to speak the truth. I don't know if you've ever found that. But sometimes it's hard to speak the truth, especially in a situation where maybe you need to say something to someone that might not be fun to hear. We all need correction, every one of us, at times. Children need correction from their parents. Husbands and wives need correction from each other. We want to call it guidance so it doesn't sound so. But husbands and wives need correction from each other. And believers in a church family sometimes need correction for the sake of a healthy community. But if we're going to do that, we have to be willing to speak the truth. Sometimes it's easier to just keep quiet or say something that's a bit more comfortable so that the person to whom you're speaking doesn't get their feelings hurt. It's very important to be sensitive and gentle in the way we communicate the truth. It is. But we still need to communicate the truth to others if we're going to grow in the ways that God wants us to grow. We also should be able to receive the truth from others when they speak it to us. And man, haven't there been times, maybe none of you, but there has in my life, there have been times where someone's spoken the truth to me and it hurts and you have to make a change or you need to make an adjustment. At first you don't want to believe that's true. But as you begin to look inside, look at yourself, talk to God, maybe you come to that point that realizing I do need to make a change. And it hurts sometimes to share the truth with others, and sometimes it hurts to receive the truth. But in our different circumstances, whether it's our families, whether sometimes it's our jobs, our relationships, our community, we need to do that. And God honors that. And when we do, we will grow and be blessed. We will. In our individual lives and in our life together as a community. Ephesians 4:15-16 says, we will speak the truth in love. Isn't that the key? That's the key wherever you are. Even if it's at work. I know that sounds weird, you know, maybe to some people, speak truth and love at work. You can do that. Because of God, you can care for and love the people that you work with, and you can speak the truth. We will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Lord, help us to speak truthfully. I just challenge you this morning as we close in a word of prayer that, yeah, if that's anything that you struggle with, I encourage you to talk to God about it. Sometimes lies come out pretty easily, and they come out quickly, and they're often for our convenience. But, I think you've seen this morning that can make relationships and circumstances all the more difficult, because you know what happens when we tell one lie? You have to tell another one to cover that one. And it just goes on. And eventually we have to face the truth, and it gets even worse. So may I encourage you, if that's something you struggle with this morning, or something you've done, or something you're working on, you know, stop. Just stop. Be honest. Talk to God about it. Ask him to help you to be honest. And when you give an answer, don't give an answer right away. Take a moment and just pause. And then answer. God will honor that, and he'll help you. Father, thank you for your word. It's a little scary, because there are sometimes we really struggle with these things. Is your word just a relic of the past that's irrelevant to us? I don't think so. I think something like this about bearing false witness, about lying, Lord, plays into our everyday life. And we can get in so much trouble when we're not completely honest. I'm going to say when we tell lies. Lord, it doesn't mean we have to go spurting everything about our lives out to everybody all around us. But Lord, you give wisdom in that. You give wisdom. You give guidance in those things. And so I pray you'd help me always to speak the truth. And Lord, not to tell lies, whatever they might be, however small I might consider them to be, however much for my convenience I might consider them to be, or saving someone else from a hurt, from being hurt. Lord, if I need to speak the truth, I pray you would help me to speak the truth. And I pray that for each one of us here, Father, that you would cause us to speak the truth in love. In your name, thank you. Amen.